The first item on the agenda is call to order and roll call. The second item on the agenda is introduction and announcements. Item three, review and approval of the agenda. Four is public comment. Five is review and approval of January 27, 2011. Minutes, Gabe Griffith, Secretary. Treasurer's report, Peter Pudini. Under the Treasurer's report, we have account balance report as of March 31st, 2011. Item B, balance sheet as of March 31st, 2011. Item C, statement of income and expenses for the period of January 1st to March 31st, 2011. Item D, income and expenses, previous year, comparison for the period January 1 to March 31. In parentheses, it says new report summary. Item E, a report on the expenditure of the $2,500 provided us by Newell Perry Endowment Fund. Item F, convention audio equipment proposal. Item G, 2011 proposed budget. Item H, 2010 audit update. Number seven on the agenda is report on Newell Perry Trust Fund. Item eight, report on Ellen Murphy Trust Fund. Item nine, California Council of the Blind Muttstrut report. Ken Metz, committee chair. Board report given by Melissa Hudson and Jeff Tom. Item 10, publications committee report, Bernice Kandarian. Item A, blind Californian. Item B, other publications, printing more, quote, failing site, close quote. Item C, website and lists. Item D, Facebook and Twitter. Item E, candidates forum. Item F, resolution about certificates of appreciation. Item number 11, convention bid progress report, Eugene Lozano, Jr., convention committee chair. Item 12, approval of donor privacy policy. Item 13, director of advocacy and governmental affairs position, and I will be giving that report, Donna Pomerantz, president. Item 14, public comment. Item 15, adjourn. That is the reading of the agenda for this meeting tonight, or should I say this afternoon. I want to thank all of you for being here. And at this time, Artis. Okay.
Okay, I wanted to add an item about the time of the convention board meeting.
Okay. That will be added to the agenda, and we will add that after item number 14. Do we, and I'm actually asking because I'm not sure, do we need to have a motion to add that, or is it appropriate for me just to add that to the agenda? Perfect. Thank you, Gabe. All right.
Madam President, one other comment.
Yeah.
It's Gabe.
Gabe.
I believe you said that there was an update on the $2,500 given to us by the, was it Noel Perry? I think my agenda said $25,000.
Yes. I'm sorry, $25,000. My apologies.
Probably not a big issue. I just wanted to.
No. That is a big difference.
Well, as
$25,000.
As far as the discussion, I wasn't
absolutely
sure that would make a lot of difference.
Yes, I appreciate that. 1-0 definitely makes a difference. Thank you. Okay. So we've added Arts' item to the agenda. And do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Jerry moved, and who seconded?
Lena.
I did.
Lena. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Great. Motion carries. Okay. Let me go ahead and have our secretary And my apologies for doing this out of order. Let me have our secretary do the roll call.
Can we just a second?
Okay.
Madam President, I'd just like to say while getting that, this is the best speakerphone I can remember having.
Yes, it is. And I would like to thank our audio crew for getting things all set up with that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. I'm ready for roll call, Madam President. President Donna Pomerantz.
Here.
First Vice President Jean Lozano.
Here.
Second Vice President Roger Peterson.
Here.
Secretary Gabe Griffith. There. Treasurer Peter Bardini. Immediate Past President Jeff Tom.
Here.
Jerry Arakawa.
Here.
Lena Bandy.
Here.
Artis Bazin.
Here.
Foster Brown. Foster Brown going once. Foster Brown going twice. I don't hear Foster Brown. Vince Calderon.
Here.
David Hanlon.
Here.
David Jackson.
Here.
Dan Kaiser.
Here.
Linda Perel. And Madam President, it looks like with one absence, the rest of us are here.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, the next item on the agenda is introductions and announcements. And so what I would like to do so that everyone can know who is in the room and we have a manageable size crowd at this point, I have Ed prepared to go around the room, and if folks can just say your first name, last name, and where you're from.
Okay. That's Mike Keithley. If I get any closer to him, that's what happens with the mic. Sorry.
Bernice Kandarian, Mountain View.
Susan Hyatt, San Jose.
Shirley Manning, Los Angeles.
Tom Ross. Bakerfield.
Melissa Hudson, yeah. Greater LA Chapter.
Keith Johnson, Pasadena, California.
Frank Belkey, San Leandro.
Steve Mendelson, San Leandro.
And a trio, Judy Wilkinson, San Leandro.
Diane Bell,
Solano.
Josie Conkling, Sacramento.
Yeah.
Sam Chen, Silicon Valley.
Everyone.
Thank you very much. And we did item 3, which was review and approval of the agenda. Next item on the agenda is public comment. Does anyone wish to come before the board with public comment? Okay. Thank you very much. Number 5 will be review and approval, January 27, 2011 minutes. Gabe Griffiths, Secretary.
Madam President?
Artis.
I'd like to make a motion that the minutes be accepted as sent.
Okay. Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Vince Calderon seconds. Do we have any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Artis. Who was it that seconded that?
Vince Calderon.
Okay. I'll pay you later, Artis.
Item number 6, Treasurer's Report, Peter Pardini. Peter, if you can start with your item number A, Account Balance Report as of March 31st, 2011.
Good afternoon. I'm going to start out with the Account Balance Report as of March 31st. 2011, and are there any questions regarding this report?
Do we have any questions from board members?
Yeah, Matt,
Jeff, there's a microphone in front of you.
Peter, I don't remember which it was. I sent you a question, and I'm trying to recall. But my question was, there was one
of our securities accounts that seem to be doing a lot less well than others. And I can't, if we can't find it, maybe you can address it later, but
I can take a look at that. And I'll get back to the board later on.
Yeah, because I was one of them. I don't think it was the Wells Fargo. It wasn't the Daniel Klein one. It was the other one, I think. And it seemed like it sort of stood out for me like, we really need to be looking at that. So maybe you could just check those over and maybe.
I'll send a notice out to the board when I find it.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
If there's no other questions, I'll move on to the balance sheet as of March 31, 2011. And currently, we have total assets in the amount of $1,223,615. And our liabilities and net worth, it's also that same amount. Do you have any questions regarding the balance sheet?
Peter, can you please, Jean is actually asking if you would give an overview, please, on the balance sheet.
In our general account, it shows $40,297. In the general fund designated for the Noel Perry Endowment Fund, we have a balance there of $14,245. That's the amount that's remaining from the $25,000 that we'll receive from the Noel Perry Fund. In our Citibank, we have $114, and we have a $6,074. FISN Menino Scholarship Account, we have a balance of $34,064. Bank of America Life Membership, $2,851. Chase Checking Account, $4,588. Chase CCB Scholarship Fund, $46,404. OCB Student Assistance Fund, Washington Mutual, $6,847. Bank of America CEA Loan Fund, $14,208. B of A Crisis Committee Fund, $243. Bank of America Fogarty Scholarship, $4,637. Bank of America Lopez Scholarship Fund, $2,672. Bank of America Signed Scholarship Fund, $24,401. Petty Cash, $600. Total checking and savings, $202,252. Our accounts receivable, other $1,000. CEA Loan Fund, $2,913. Total accounts receivable, $3,913. Other assets, Noel Perry, $142,556. Wells Fargo Bank, General Investments, $315,953. Wells Fargo Bank, CEA Endowment Fund, $108,425. Ellen Murphy Fund, $248,330. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, that's Noel Perry Fund, $176,999. CEO loan fund due from the general fund in the amount of $20,000. Undeposited funds in the amount of $450. Wager deposit in the amount of $2,205.20. Total other current assets, $1,014,921.24. Total fixed assets in the amount of $2,529. Total assets, $1,223,615. Liabilities and net assets, current liabilities, Accounts payable, $2,457. Scholarships payable, $5,000. General fund, due to the CEA loan fund, $20,000. Total accounts payable, $27,457. Other current liabilities, payroll taxes payable. And I'll just read the total for that. $3,099. Total current liabilities, $30,556. Net assets, unrestricted, in the amount of $583,237. Temporarily restricted assets, $481,821. Permanently restricted assets, in the amount of $128,000. Total liabilities and net assets, $1,223,615. And that concludes the balance sheet.
Gene.
A question?
Peter, what is the OCB student's account? What is that?
Basically, it was money given when Alan Jenkins passed away. And basically the fund that basically students at the OCB can draw against for expenditures that OCB doesn't cover.
Do you have any ideas what those might be? I'm sorry, but I don't recall this being brought up before.
What was the question, Gene?
Do you know what are some of the things that they could use that for, the students?
I'd have to look through the trust documents.
Okay.
I can't recall. I can't recall at the present time.
They can use it for like emergencies. Let's say they, had to go back and do something in a hurry while they were there, and they had some kind of an emergency that they had to do. They could call upon it for, certain. It's pretty limited though. It's not like daily living expenses because most things are covered by, the center itself. So it is limited, but if they have emergencies, they can use it for that. Unfortunately, it's very little used because it is so limited.
And how is it administered?
As I recall, I think, Roger, you are correct. As I recall, the OCB administrator has the authority to distribute it when somebody applies to them, and then we will, cut the check.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can certainly have staff check and see if it's in the office in terms of the documents. I think it may have been used maybe twice, once I was president and once sometime before that, so...
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Peter.
Are there any more questions regarding the balance sheet?
I have a quick question, Peter. The JCCD Scholarship Fund, which is, I'm sorry, not the CCD Scholarship Fund, the Chase Checking Account, which is mostly active blind money, if I am correct. See, the balance is pretty high. Does that signify that people aren't collecting their scholarships, or can anybody enlighten me?
No, because we only have an outstanding accounts receivable balance of $5,000 that's outstanding for this period. One of the students didn't get their money because she graduated early.
Oh, so that's part of it. That still is pretty high because it's supposed to go down closer to zero if we.
But this. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Moving on to the statement of income and expenses for the period January 1st to March 31, 2011. Would you guys like me to read the complete report or just give a summary?
Summary. The board is calling for a summary.
Okay. For this period, we have total income in the amount of $55,685. Expenses in the amount of $1,000. $59,577, leaving a difference of negative $3,891. During this same period, we had other income in the amount of $27,471, leaving a difference, a total income less expenses in the amount of $23,579.
Peter, if you can give that number again, please.
$23,579. Do you have any questions regarding the income and expense report?
Are there any questions?
I guess I will ask one.
Jeff has a question. You know, he steps down from the president's seat, and all of a sudden, he is just, woo.
Kathy told me I had to do whatever she'd want me to do if she were her here, so I'm trying to do it.
I see.
TechLink.
Jeff.
TechLink, there's only 4,000. Is that only because we haven't, I mean, because the checks haven't come in yet, or is that going to be, do we know whether that's really going to be low this year? Or?
I mean, that was the amount of the money that we got in so far this year. Let me see if that's, I got a
You may not know the answer, and that's okay. I just was wondering. Because that is pretty low, but. But sometimes the checks don't get to us for a few months, as Ed can attest.
Up through May 11th, we've only received $7,000.
Okay.
So it's been a little down. Okay. Less this year.
Thank you.
I'll move on and give a summary of the comparison of income and expenses for the period ending March 31, 2011 against 2010. For 2011, we had total income in the amount of $55,685. During this same period in 2010, we had income in the amount of $90,725. For the period for that in 2011, we had expenses in the amount of $59,577. During that same period in 2010, we had expenses in the amount of $72,521, leaving income less expenses in 2011 negative $3,892. For the same period last, in 2010, $18,204. Other income for this period, $27,472. And other income in 2010 in the amount of $29,369. Are there any questions regarding this report? Jeff?
I'm hitting
him. Give me 10 minutes. I'll come.
I see. Okay. Any questions on this report? I know. All of a sudden, he's not president, and he's just full of words and questions. All righty. Okay, for those that didn't hear, Gene said he's retired, so he has a lot of time on his hands. All righty. Sounds like there's agreement from the audience. All right. If there aren't any questions on that report, Peter?
I'll move on to the report of expenditures funds provided by the No Parent Endowment Fund.
Thank you.
For the period ending, for the period January 1st to March 30th, 2011, funds provided $25,000, expenses, salary $9,000, medical and dental benefits, $1,999, payroll taxes, $1,186, total expenses, $12,185, fund remaining balance, $12,815.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions about that portion of the report? Okay. So, Peter, what was the ending balance, the funds that we have left?
$12,815.
Okay.
Thank you. So we're doing very well.
Yes. All right. Item F. Oh, no. I apologize. I jumped over. No, it is item F.
And it is the convention audio equipment update proposal. I misplaced my agenda.
That's okay. Convention equipment proposal. Item F.
Should I read the Tier 1 upgrade justifications? Or just go through the proposed, what they want to buy?
And some of the background on this item is that our audio equipment is struggling a bit, to put it mildly, and our audio crew has put together a proposal. Lily was working with them on that item as well, and in the spirit of being proactive, myself and Peter asked them to put together a detailed proposal, which all board members currently have in their packet. Again, in the spirit of being proactive, our audio folks are wonderful. They're resurrecting all of this each time. And we wanted to get the feedback from the board to see, first of all, if you have any questions about this detailed proposal. And Brian and Jay, I know you guys are in the room. I don't know if the board has any questions about this pretty detailed proposal. We did purchase a few things for this convention that we needed that we didn't have. But we do need to look into the future for some serious upgrades. And given our finances, again, Peter and I asked for a detailed proposal and they put one together. We also received a donation, an anonymous donation from someone who purchased several high-quality recorders and donated them to the council because what we were using pretty much has died. And because of the generosity of this donor, we were able to have those for this convention, and we were much in need of that. But there are still some things that we are in need of purchasing, and that's the proposal before the board. So I don't know if anyone has any questions.
Dan.
Who calls for the floor?
Dan.
No. Okay, Dan. Now, Brian or Jay, do either of you have a microphone? Brian?
I do. Brian does.
Is that Brian? Perfect. So if you can help out here and answer some of the questions.
I will do my best.
All righty. Thank you. Dan, you're recognized.
Okay. Jeff's trying to, you know, undermine what I'm saying over here, but that's okay. I'm just kidding. I hope you don't forget connectivity to the internet. And we didn't have one working pair of headphones for the mixer, CCP mixer. Also, the connectors are running out. I go back a few years when we started doing the internet broadcasting here on CCB, and, you know, you need, like, little connectors, little patch cords, little, you know, and those things are gradually started to disappear over. They've walked out on their own. And so we need, you know, I hope the board definitely considers if you want to go on the internet, we're struggling. We didn't get on today because we didn't have the proper equipment to get on today. In terms of, we couldn't test. We had no working set of headphones, and we almost had to go to Radio Shack across the street. You can't use a mixer without headphones. So we couldn't test our audio. We couldn't do anything. So we managed to get a set of headphones from one of the rooms. But the internet is really crucial, and to have a dedicated computer, unfortunately this is more money, but you really need a dedicated computer. You're having people bring their own systems from home with different configurations, with different types of sound cards. It's hard. Every computer is different. It's hard to get around on these everybody's computers because they have their own configuration. But if we had, like, one dedicated internet computer with people who know that system and could be told, you know, here's what we use and here's what you do to get on, that would be a lot easier than what we've had to do today. So also, is this a – Jeff wanted to know, is this an agenda proposal or is it action item or what?
Well, I think the board needs to address this in ample time so that we can be more prepared for our next fall convention.
And
it would be nice to have some money. I mean, since we are talking about, since the budget had not been approved, this would be the perfect opportunity to, if we need to increase funding for our budget, we should put it in now.
But actually, Dan had a bunch of questions, and no one was able to address those before Dan jumped in with Jeff's question of an action item.
Right.
All items on the agenda have the possibility of being action items or informational items. I didn't realize I was supposed to categorize them. If we can, I actually leaned over and asked Gabe to take note of what was being recommended. And of course, we've never had these problems like this in the past because we had a person who always brought their own setup. Ken Metz originally was going to be streaming, and because of a medical issue, he is not here today. John and Rob have graciously agreed to do the streaming, and Ken's system, I believe, came up. But this is why there were some issues that happened today.
Madam Chair.
Actually, Gene called for the floor first, and then I'll go ahead and recognize Roger. So let me give Gene first.
Thank you. I guess so we can discuss this and possibly get an overview from the audio staff. I would like to move that the report and the amount be integrated into our budget. I'm asking for a second.
Second.
So if we could have a discussion. Yeah, it was meant as a motion, Jeff. So we've got a
discussion. Okay.
And if maybe if our staff could give us a summary of it and what this equipment, I understand, is the minimum we really need right now. So I just wonder if we could give it a little.
A tier one and a tier two is what Roger said. So Gene made the motion. I believe it was Dan that seconded the motion.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have any more discussion, or can we have Brian speak to Gene's question?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear the motion. Something's breaking up.
My motion was that this do we have a dollar amount? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
It's approximate rounded.
$56. $2,056 for both Tier 1 and Tier 2 purchases.
I move.
Right.
I move that the recommendation from the audio staff be integrated into our budget. Level one and two.
Okay, got you.
I'm not sure if that motion is in order, because we haven't taken the budget up.
But
what you're trying to do, Gene. I don't disagree with you, but I'm not sure that we can do it that way, discuss it that way.
Roger, how are we to do it?
We need to talk about this.
Well, the board and the budget committee both can give recommendations. Why can't we?
Well, no, we will.
Okay. Roger, are you able to hear me?
I hear you, yes.
Okay. Gene has proposed this motion. Dan has seconded. Jeff has stated that he is not sure that this is in order to do it this way. And what was stated was, well, the budget hasn't gone forward yet. And Jeff said, basically, well, I know what you're trying to do, but I don't know if this is in order. So I am calling upon, I hope I recapped correctly. So, Roger, I'm asking you if you believe that it is in order for us to do this way.
Well, first of all, I don't know why you're asking me. I don't remember anyone appointing me parliamentarian. But secondly, I think it seems to me Gene said to be integrated into the budget process, and I frankly don't see anything wrong with that. But
okay. I am asking you because I am much less a parliamentarian than you, so.
You must be pretty little a parliamentarian.
I'm, okay. So we have the motion and the second. Do we have any further discussion? And what the motion is accepting the report as given. Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah. And,
Dan.
You've got it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I will work with CCB on the computer part because I don't think we have to pay for a computer, but I really think it's important, and I hope people understand this, that, you know, Ken wasn't here this time, and he graciously, you know, let's use his laptop. But, you know, it's really important that we have consistent equipment all the time because, you know, if something happened to Ken, we're out of luck. We're not, you know, we're not going to be able to stream. And so I think, you know, just as in the audio equipment, CCB owns their own audio equipment, which I think is great. We'd go broke if we paid at the hotel, about rented the hotel equipment. So I think it's really important that we have, you know, a computer. And I'll work with CCB to get that computer. I probably have an extra computer floating around that's in good shape. So that I would love to, you know, help out because I believe in getting out on the Internet. At CCB is a great advocacy organization, and we need to get our story out.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Yeah.
Any more discussion?
Oh, Madam President, real quick. Would this go in office supplies or would it go in office equipment expenses?
Office equipment.
Okay. Thank you.
Before we vote on the final motion, I would like to ask Brian if there's anything that you'd like to say to this report or to all of this.
Basically, just to echo I was going to echo that the computer be part of the office supplies and expenses. And the computer need wasn't part of the list as you guys can read it. I don't have it in front of me at the moment. Not on the list. We didn't consider that because we do bring our own equipment from home that we do trust. And most of the equipment there is basically just to get you guys to help future-proof all of the equipment because when we walked in the last time, it was pretty bad. And the archiving part of it, because we know you guys like to put that up online and as much as the meetings as possible. And all of the equipment that we did is going to help that, especially with the smaller breakout sessions as well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Madam President.
Is that Jerry?
Yes.
Yes, Jerry.
Just a quick question. I think the answer is probably pretty clear. But these two tiers, the recommended equipment purchase, that will, at this point, if we purchase all of this, that will preclude the necessity for people to bring and use their own personal equipment? Because I'm very concerned about doing that, you know, for liability if something should break, not to mention the fact that, you know, people shouldn't have to lug their equipment up to, you know, to help the organization. It's a nice gesture, but, boy, that's taking a big risk for your staff.
It is, and we're getting to the point where the only thing as the audio engineers that we would need to bring is our laptops, and that's what most of the equipment is geared for, or our own personal headphones.
So you would be bringing your personal laptops, which you are very comfortable with and know inside out, and you're bringing your own personal headphones.
Yes.
And that would be all that you would need to bring if we make these purchases.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. Do we have any other questions or discussion on this item? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Roger.
Just before we leave this overall item of audio equipment, I just want to, for the information of the board, mention that our newly activated committee around deafblindness and visual impairment and hearing impairment is actively trying to figure out how to improve the access for folks with hearing impairments and what equipment we need and how to get it, funding streams for getting it. We don't have an answer at this moment, but I, you know, in the interest of the concept of accessibility, I hope that in the future this will become part of the whole concept of convention audio equipment. Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, that was, you know, it's nice to be recognized. I think that was my first.
Yes, it was. Recognition.
Yes, it was. And they are actively looking for funding streams, so we'll have a report from that committee on Sunday morning at the business meeting. So I hope that all of you who are here today and more will be there to hear that report. Thank you, Roger. Okay. Our next.
Oh, we have a motion on the
floor. I'm sorry.
Except it wasn't Jeff.
We voted on it.
We voted.
I'm sorry.
The motion's off the floor, but Roger pulled it back because he just wanted to speak to the issue. But the motion was voted on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wasn't speaking to that motion. I was speaking to the general.
He was speaking to the general concept of audio and full accessibility. Very well. Thank you. Item G, Peter.
Item G is
2011 proposed budget, and now you have an addition.
Yes. Let's start with the income items. REW and Associates, this is the proposed budget for income for the organization. REW and Associates, $22,000. TechLink Sanderson Group, Inc., $18,000. Vehicle Donation Processing Center, $33,000. Friends of CCB Zero, affiliated chapters, $5,150. Members at large, $300. Live member dues, $400. Sustaining members, zero. Conventions, $35,000. Bequest, zero. Ellen Murphy Fund, zero. Contributions, $7,000. Scholarships, $5,500. Grants, $10,000. Grant Neil Perry, $45,000. Active Blind, Inc., $10,000. Miscellaneous, $1,600. MMS contributions, $3,600. Fundraisers, $10,000. Fundraisers, Mutt Strut, $67,850. Legal settlements, $16,000. Legal settlement education, $5,000. Dividends operating, $10,000. CEA loan repayment from borrower, $1,020. Total income, $306,420. Again, that's $306,420. Expenses. Staff support, $101,500. Medical insurance, $30,000. Miscellaneous expenses, $1,800. Payroll tax expense, $8,800. Accounting services, $8,100. Audit fees, $9,500. Travel and transportation, $2,500. Telephone expenses, $5,600. Vehicle insurance, $2,350. Public relations, $1,000. Membership development, $600. Rent, $28,000. Office insurance, $1,000. Workers' comp insurance, $950. Bond insurance, $170. Board of Directors liability insurance, $2,400. Printing, $2,000. Printing BC, $13,000. Licenses and fees and property taxes, $300. Office supplies, $3,000. Postage, $1,100. Equipment rental, $1,760. Service contracts, $2,500. Office equipment expense, $1,500. Repairs and maintenance, $1,500. Web development, webmaster, $10,000. Board of Directors expenses, $3,500. Committee expenses, $3,000. Dues to organizations, $3,165. Conferences and seminars, $2,000. Sales tax expense, $350. Scholarships, $17,000. Grants to organizations, zero. Grants to individuals, $12,000. Conventions, $61,000. Fundraising expenses and reimbursements, $3,000. Fundraising expenses, MUTSTRUT, $18,000. CEA loan repayment, $5,000. And then we have to add in the audio equipment upgrade in the amount of $2,056. And our total expenses will be like $371,001. And our budget income less expenses will be about a negative $64,571. Oh, sorry. $81. Again, that's a -$62,581. $364,581. $581. Sorry, $64,581 negative. Okay. And that concludes the report.
Okay.
And a proposed budget.
Okay, Artis.
I had a question about the MUTSTRUT, both ends of it, both the amount for the what is down to bring in, the $67,000, and the amount to be spent as far as for expenses for it of $18,000. I was wondering what evaluation process did you use to come up with those amounts, because they both seem on the high side.
Okay. The MUTSTRUT committee, including, and I'll let Donna and others speak to it as well, but the MUTSTRUT committee, beginning even last year and ongoing, evaluated the expected number of participants, what running teams could bring in, what we could expect to be brought in from regular walker registrants, what we could bring in on in-kind services, which part of that budget consists of in-kind services, so that it would not actually come back to us in money, but it would defray costs. And we fleshed a little bit of that out in the budget committee. We've done a lot of planning in terms of our thoughts on this. Do we know for sure? It's hard to – the first year is going to be tough, Artis. The first year is going to be tough to determine exactly how successful we're going to be, because there's so many imponderables. But, you know, we did this, we could provide you, because I know Lily has some of the materials that we have, we could provide you some of the details on today, you know, later, on how, on some of the, computations that we took into consideration. I don't know, Donna, if I've said enough.
Actually, what I was going to say is the board already was given a detailed version of how this number came about, although it was several months ago. Things were also included, such as a printing budget, a marketing and publicity budget. It was quite thorough, and the board did receive that detailed report, but it has been several months. It was December, quite thorough. Yeah, Gabe is just reminding me that the board received it in December. So Artis was not a part of the board at that time. We also included things like web publicity. We included, the printing of brochures and a number of different detailed items that was flushed out. I don't know if that answers your questions. Artis?
I'm just concerned about us counting too much income, particularly the income part.
I think the committee basically looked at a number of other events that were similar to this. That was the reason that we included the component of people and their dogs, whether they're guide dogs or pet dogs, doing the walk, jog, run. That's kind of the in thing at this point. A lot of people are, they may not even necessarily, although our cause is a wonderful cause, but they may get into participating in events such as this where they and their dogs can participate in the event together. It's just a motivating thing. People look for these things. And the committee did a lot of studying of other events. Lily was extremely helpful in assisting with a lot of the research and giving us some of the statistics and data. A lot really went into getting this budget and proposed income together. Actually, we originally came up with an even higher number, and the committee spoke, had a brainstorming meeting, and thought, well, let's go a tiny bit lower since this may be our first one and people are getting used to it. We already have a logo. It was a donation from someone who's a friend of Melissa Hudson, who is one of the Southern California Committee chairs, and we're ready to start doing the blasts very, very soon so that we can start getting the word out. So there was a lot of research done as well, and Lily was extremely helpful with the committee. Any other questions?
Madam President, I want to follow up on something. Don and I were talking, and we think we need an amendment. But we don't have a, do we have a motion yet?
Not yet.
Okay, then I'll wait.
Any other questions on the budget or proposed budget? Sorry. Okay. Peter.
I move that the board of directors accept the proposed budget as read for 2011.
Peter
second.
Okay, Peter has made a motion. Lena has seconded. Do we have any more discussion on this item?
Yes, Madam President. We've currently received from the New Old Perry Trust $25,000 of the $45,000. We won't be spending that this year. Hopefully, if we have a little more to spend, I don't know what Frank's total will end up being. We don't know that yet, but we've spent $13,000, and who knows, maybe there's another $1,000, I don't know. But anyway, and it's possible we'll spend another, which we'll talk about later, Donna will, $1,000 to $2,000 more. But we figure the easiest way perhaps to do this is just hopefully they'll cover the few extra expenses that we'll have. The easiest way might be for budgetary purposes to, since it's going to be a wash, whatever it is, we're not going to, if we leave the $25,000 on the one side and we, I don't know whether we want to put $25,000 on the other or $16,000 on the other or for the expense side or whatever, but we certainly don't want the $45,000 nor do we need it because we're not going to spend it because we don't have, all those expenses, for the governmental affairs salary. So we need to do something to put that more in line with the actual spent expenses that position is going. So we certainly, I think $25,000 is more than sufficient for the income side, and the question is what do we do with the expense side?
Well, we've got to reduce our, Jeff, are you suggesting that we reduce our income?
Yes, and leave the income to 25, since that's what we currently have, and then reduce the expense to, I don't know, whether you want to say.
By the corresponding 25?
Yeah, and then when we can always just, that doesn't mean we'll really spend that, but we can just leave it as a wash. Since it's going to be a wash no matter what we do, we'll have to deal with it next year, and talk to them and work with them, but we're certainly not going to be spending any more money than they want us to spend, so.
Madam President?
Dan?
I would want to be more comfortable, though, with letting the trustees of the New Perry committee let them know first before we vote on. I mean, I understand it's a wash, but I wouldn't want to make any board decisions on money that the New Perry did not give us that money for that purpose. They gave it to us for a distinctly other purpose. I just think it doesn't look good to do that. I don't know.
No, I'm confused.
Okay, Gabe wants the floor, and then there's another agenda item that, and I don't know if it's appropriate for me to discuss that at this point. That may give you some clarity. But Gabe has the microphone at this point.
Well, I was just going to say I see where Dan's talking about, but
Yeah, we have to vote on something on this. We can't just leave that a blank. So you know, maybe it would be a good idea to, I don't know if we can deviate from the budget and put this item on hold for a few minutes and address the later budget item so that we can have clarification on this. But I think we do have to address this item in this budget in some way.
Yeah. I would suggest that we let Donna give a report and then.
So my question then is, and again, I seek proper guidance here. The agenda item dealing with the advocacy in governmental affairs.
Would the proper way to handle this to be to make a motion to table the budget discussion for a few minutes so we can move on to the other agenda item?
Roger?
I think you could table it just till after that item.
Okay.
In that case, I move to table the budget discussion for a few minutes until we move down to the, or until we can discuss the governmental affairs director position item.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. The item on the agenda, Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs position, Don Pomerantz, president. I was informed that Frank Welty has been offered a position at the San Francisco Lighthouse, and he has agreed to take it. The commute would be much shorter, and it's better for him to do this. It's a good family decision for him, as he shared it with me. It wasn't that he was unhappy with CCB. Everything was fine. This is just a better thing for his family to accept this position at this time. So Frank will be leaving us. His last day is the Sunday of our convention, and he will be starting his new position at the Lighthouse on the 24th of this month. So we will not be having Frank as our Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs as of May 16th. When Frank came to me and shared this with me, we're definitely sorry to lose him, but first and foremost, you need to do what's best for your family. And I absolutely agree with that. So what I did was I went and spoke with Jeff, who has retired from his job with the Legislative Council, and I asked Jeff if he would be willing to volunteer his time to step in and assist with doing the Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs position through the end of this year. And Jeff agreed to do so. So that is a definite win-win situation for us. Gabe just said something over here. We don't listen to Gabe. Budgetarily, it's, well, and that's what I stated. We're sad to lose Frank, but as I stated, you know, one must do what's best for their family. And Frank has said that he wants to continue to be active on the Governmental Affairs Committee, and I'm very happy that he wishes to do so. Jeff currently chairs that committee. As you read your program, you'll see that he is the chair of that committee. And Jeff has been working with Frank as well, doing some of the visits and things with him during the year. So my thanks goes out to Jeff for agreeing to volunteer through the end of the year. And what this means, what I have offered and definitely want us to do is pay Jeff's expenses while he's serving in capacity as volunteer for this position. So things like that would, you know, just include, you know, things like transportation and such. And it would definitely be a lot less than what we're paying, you know, currently, because Jeff will be volunteering his services. So budgetarily, this is, you know, this is what the issue is.
Madam Chair.
The funds.
Sorry.
Okay, I'll recognize you in just 1 second. Let me finish the sentence. So the funds from Newell Perry would continue to go toward expenses.
Just expenses then, Donna?
Correct.
Okay.
So it, the fund would still, the monies that we have currently would still go toward what that committee intended them to go to when they awarded us the funds. Roger.
Yeah, my point was simply to, for the benefit of those who may not be totally aware of it, who are here, that the missing piece here is that CCB asked for and received these funds from the Newell Perry Endowment Trust for the purposes of paying the salary, benefits, and expenses of the Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs. So now there will be the salary and benefits will stop, but maybe the expenses won't entirely stop because of Frank's leaving. That's just by way of filling in explicitly what we're saying.
Madam President?
Okay. And Roger is correct. The reason I didn't state that, and thank you for doing so, is that I was attempting to remember as I was speaking how we did this item in our board meeting, and it was done in open session. So, and someone called for the floor.
Dan.
So did I mishear in the last discussion on Muttstrut that I could have sworn I heard that you wanted to offset the expense of Muttstrut with the potential Frank salary savings?
No.
Okay, I misinterpreted that. Okay.
Your wires got crossed.
They
turned
did.
Them around so that they'll be straight.
All right. I just wanted to clarify that it was – I'm strutting my mutt. Okay,
he's
sorry.
He's strutting his mutt early. No. That was absolutely not the intent. Yeah. But that's okay. Always please ask questions for clarification.
Madam President.
Linda. Can we get a microphone? Yeah, to Linda.
Thank you. My question is, what is the procedure or mechanism for deciding the future of the Director of Governmental Affairs position after the end of the year?
The mechanism that would come, that would be in place is that basically, this would be referred to the personnel committee, and we would start it through the mechanisms that we already have in place. That's where it would start.
Madam President, if I can just clarify. We have job specs and everything else, which the president obviously can share with the board, and the president can change.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Executive. So the whole process would be an interview, you know, once, at such time as the president and the board decide that they're going to hire this person, they'd go through the same process of hiring as we'd always do. Lou, right. Is that what you're asking?
Is that what you're?
No, I'm asking as to whether the position will continue to exist.
You mean next year or this year?
Next year.
This year it's not. At this point, we honestly don't have an answer. It would be up to the board. It would be up to the president and the board. But we definitely, as Jeff said, and he gave much more detail, we have the job description. We have a functioning personnel committee that will now have more work to do because there were other things they were going to be doing this year. But I have other things, too. So we don't have that answer in all honesty right now. I mean, currently the position exists, but it's been vacated. So I don't know if you have any other questions or.
No, that's fine. That answers my question.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, the answer is, yeah, exactly. Okay. So, any questions on that agenda item as far as the Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs position? Okay. And Jeff, thank you very much for agreeing to continue and volunteer your time. Thank you, Jeff. And Frank, I'm not sure if you are in the room or not. You are. Frank, thank you so very much. And, of course, you know, Frank shared with me that, well, now I'm going to go back to being a member, so I'm going to be even more vocal now. So. So thank you so much, Frank, for the 3 years of service that you have given to us. And I know, speaking for myself, we and our board, we all wish you well on the new part of your journey. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Roger. It's just a kind of a technical thing, I suppose, but when you said that Frank was going to continue to be active on the Governmental Affairs Committee, of course, Frank can't be under the Constitution when he has been an employee, a member of the Governmental Affairs Committee. So I assume that he will resume membership on the Governmental Affairs Committee, and that brings me to the thought of whether Jeff, as a essentially volunteer employee, can really serve on that committee or will serve kind of in the way that Frank, like a staff or something. I mean, is there anything to be concerned about there?
What I would say, and Daniel, tell me if I'm wrong, what I would say is, and the reason I said Daniel, tell me if I'm wrong, was because as I was saying, I would speak to that, so did Dan. Jeff will not be an employee at all. Jeff will be volunteering his time. Jeff will not be in the office 9 to 5. Jeff will pretty much be doing what he, except a little more.
He'll just be an extra active chair of the government.
I'm sorry, Roger?
He'll be just an extra active chair
yes,
of the Government Activities Committee.
Yes, he will.
Like Kathy Skivers used to be. At some
point. Yes. So he will absolutely not be an employee whatsoever. And so I believe that this is not in violation of our Constitution. We would be basically doing what we do for other members if we ask them, to represent us at a meeting and such.
Right.
So I do not believe that we're in violation of our Constitution by continuing to have him chair governmental affairs. And Dan, am I wrong?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Exactly.
I'm wrong?
No, you're right.
Thank you.
And conflict of interest is usually based on remuneration, so there's no remuneration here. So it should be fine. And reminding everybody when Sid Urena had his stroke, and even before that, I was basically doing Sid's job with Janice for about a year. So I wasn't paid at that time either. So we do have a history of that.
As I say, Kathy used to do a lot.
And Kathy, right.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So hearing no more questions and discussion, do we have a motion to go back to the budget item? Okay, in a second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? Mr. Treasurer, back to you.
So basically, to recap, and if we're going to incorporate Jeff's motion to reduce the income and expenses by $20,000, is that correct?
Yeah, I guess that's okay. I mean, we're not going to spend anywhere near that, but I don't see a problem with it.
I don't either, Jeff. Total income will be $286,420. And for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to go ahead and reduce the staff salaries by $20,000. I mean, I know technically it's not 100% correct, but...
Peter, can you please reread the previous number for Gabe? A new total income?
Yeah, the revised income. Well, the old income was $306,420. The revised income will be $286,420. And I'm going to reduce the staff support. It was originally $101,500. I'm going to reduce it by $20,000, so it'd be $81,500. And our revised total expenses will be $351,001. And basically, the budgeted income less expenses will have a definite amount. Negative $64,581. Are there any other questions regarding the budget? Hearing none, Donna?
One moment. What I'd like to do is check with the original makers of the motion to accept which are Peter and Lena, if you consider this friendly, is what I'm being told.
I do.
Peter does.
Yes.
And Lena does.
Yes.
Oh, we are so friendly. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Any, so we have the motion and we have the second. Do we have any more discussion on the budget as presented? Okay. All right. All in favor of adopting this budget for 2011, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Wonderful. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Item H, Mr. Treasurer.
Thank you. Item 8 is the 2010 audit update. Basically, our audit will be currently scheduled for, was it June 18th? Basically, we had a conversation with Debbie Ask at our auditing firm, and she would have liked to have done it before the in June. Well, I think it'll be happen right around the week of the 24th of June. The 27th when Donna comes back from vacation. Yeah.
I get a vacation. I'm escaping to Las Vegas.
So
Oh, Keith, for those who use the assisted listening devices, Keith said, already?
I thought you had a job to have a vacation.
This is a job, regardless of how friendly we are. Okay, any questions about the 2010 audit update? We are really doing a lot to get things updated. I'm very happy that we're getting everything said. It's definitely a lot of work, but we are moving in the right direction, and I, for one, am very pleased.
Well, I have one other question, Doc.
Peter.
Basically, in the 2009 audit, basically the auditors classified the life membership fund as a board-designated fund, and we need to have a board motion to accept their recommendation. I really don't want to quibble with the auditors regarding the small amount. And basically, what this means is that the board can set any rules that it wants regarding how these funds are used. And the board can say, we're going to use what the Constitution says, and that's what the board will say. But I just really need a motion on the floor to change the life members fund from temporarily restricted to board designated based on the recommendation of the auditors.
So moved.
Okay, we have Jeff, maker of the motion, Jean, second. It was Jean, yeah. At least I heard Jean. I'm sorry if there was someone else.
If it was me, I didn't.
Oh. All right. Do we have any discussion? To our secretary, he's so wonderful.
Yeah, basically it'll be the life member fund will be moved from temporarily restricted to board designated based on the recommendation of the auditors.
Temporarily restricted.
To board designated.
Board designated funds is what it needs to be. As what I was going to share is the auditors are really, there's specific language that need to be in our documents. Some of these things also are affecting our Charity Navigator rating. And so when we go to look for grants and things, if we have low ratings, we're not going to get those grants. So by getting our audits up to date, by getting the language as they wish us to have it, it's also going to help us when we become more active in soliciting grants. And folks always go and look at that Charity Navigator, and they say, where are the rest of your stars? So this is the reasoning, so that we can improve our score and make our auditors happy.
Madam Chair.
Roger.
Just as a point of information, what we're talking about here is that it's not really the Constitution. I think it's the bylaws that say that when a person becomes a life member, we keep the funds that they pay in, and we can spend the income, but we can't spend the corpus of the funds until the person dies, because he's supposed to, we're supposed to pay his, the life member's dues and so forth out of it. So that's all it is, and obviously the board will do that.
Yes, the board absolutely will honor our what our bylaws say. Absolutely. It's just the terms that the auditors wish us to use.
That's the accounting terms.
Yes. Yes. It's just changing the accounting terminology. And we absolutely would always honor our constitution and bylaws. Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item number 7, report on Newell Perry Trust Fund.
Okay, I guess I'm reading this.
I asked Jeff if he would read that for us.
Report of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust Fund, 5-10-11. Account number, I won't read that. It's Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, contact Donna Andrews. In February, we withdrew $25,000 from this account, which was given to to CCB as a contribution to enable them to continue their work. Section 4 of the Constitution of CCB sets forth the conditions on such a withdrawal can be made from this trust. At the end, oh, I guess I should say this is from Kathy Skivers, I'm assuming. Is that correct? Oh, yes, it says that at the end. Sorry, Catherine Skivers is a trustee. So that's what it's from. At the end of April, we had an account balance of $182,141.07. May 10th, it was $180,054.57. It had been the whole trustees that we would reach $200,000 in this account. As you can see by our balance today, that we are reaching that goal. Donna Andrews has been very helpful to us and believes that we have many good investments in our account, and we should be able to continue to build up our balance. Our experience with this brokerage has been very good. We might want to see if we have any other available funds that can be added here. It would have to be money that we would not need. For example, another endowment fund that we have. What would need to take into account would be whether the other endowment account is performing as well as this one. If you have any questions about the Newell Perry Fund, you can contact trustees Richard Reda, Pat Wolf, or Catherine Skivers. We also keep our president, Donna Pomerantz, apprised of what is happening with the account. At the time the $25,000 contribution was made, it was suggested that the council would need another $20,000 later this year. We are waiting to hear about this, and perhaps the convention time information will be provided to us. Sincerely, Kathy Skivers, trustee, Newell Perry Endowment Trust Fund, CC to Richard Rueda and Pat Wolf.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept? Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Gabe moved. Dan seconded. Any discussion?
Madam President.
Linda.
I'm going to channel Kathy for a moment and make note of the fact that Newell is spelled with two L's and should not be.
Yes.
In one place it was spelled with one.
Not in the agenda.
At the top. Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I get for
good
just
job.
Doing, well, anyway.
No, it's supposed to be.
I apologize. Copy and paste is a bad, bad thing.
But at the top it was spelled with one in the Braille window, so at least
yes.
In some spots it was.
It should
okay.
Be consistent.
Absolutely. We need to be consistent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Madam President?
Before or after the motion carries?
After.
Okay. Thank you very much. Motion carries.
Madam President?
Yes. And before I go to Peter, my apologies, before I go to Peter, I want to definitely send greetings from Kathy. Kathy really wished that she could be here today. But she just wasn't able to. She's still recovering, and family finances are just a great struggle. But she wanted to make sure to get these reports, and she just wanted me to let everybody know that if she was able to, she would definitely be here at this convention. And she sends greetings to everyone here, and I definitely needed to let you know that she asked me to. So she's definitely missed. Peter.
Can you please send a copy in the appropriate format of the expenditures of the funds they gave the Newell Perry
other funds that the trustees of the Mill Prairie Fund gave CCB and how much money we expended from the fund. Give them a copy of my report, basically. Provide Kathy and Braille and...
Of your report, absolutely.
Yeah. And the trustees.
The trustees.
And the trustees, okay. Mr. Secretary, please make note of that for me.
To send a report of those expenses.
To Kathy and the trustees. Peter's two reports, yes.
Okay. What's really one report?
One.
Oh.
The expenses and income.
The expenses and the income. Of the Newell Perry.
Yeah.
Okay. Item number 8. Report on Ellen Murphy Trust Fund. Before I give this over to Jeff to read, Kathy called me today, and the phone rang while I was waiting to see a senator. So I let it go to voicemail. I wasn't able to get to it in time. Thankfully, it was in vibrate mode. When I was able to listen to the message, she shared with me that she would like added to this report when Jeff reads it, that she received word that an anonymous donor contacted her today and has donated $5,000 more to that account. So that is absolutely wonderful. And so, Ed, Jeff, when you give the final finances, please add that $5,000. And Jeff, please read that for us.
Okay, so this is a report of the Ellen Murphy Fund. Same date, 5/10/11, UBS Financial Services, and the contacts are Jim and Mike Giordano. In the account, March 31st, 2011, had $248,330.25. In the account, April 29th, it was $252,257.28. And on May 10th, it's down to $251,872.00. Sorry. It was $251,872.00. And so now, obviously, there would be an additional $5,000 from the donor added to the $251,000. I don't know if it's in there or not. But. 5 women have been assisted thus far in 2011. The total amount expended for them has been $9,650.10. Assistance has been given for moving expenses. We received many requests for assistance with CCTVs. One person we assisted had received a loan for a CCTV from a company that can only let them have the equipment for a relatively short time. She's up in years, and we did assist her. She and her family have agreed that when she no longer needs it, it will be given to the company who originally made the loan so that they can pass it on to other visually impaired people who may need it. This company helped us in obtaining the proper CCTV she needed, and we received a very nice thank you letter from her telling us how much she appreciates being able to keep up with what's going on in the world and with her friends. We were pleased to assist someone who had a serious eye condition and had to have a unique kind of treatment. She was very thankful and has kept in touch with us since, letting us know that she is doing well. One of our ladies called recently to say that she would be attending the convention, and if we have a slot for her, she would be happy to volunteer. All the people receiving help from us know that their cases will be kept confidential. In addition to supplying them with their specific needs, we all make sure that they are aware of what is available to get help, any problems with SSI or Social Security. The trustees are attempting to find ways to increase this fund. We keep in close touch with our broker and are pleased with the assistance we receive from UBS. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact trustees Pat Wolf, Abigail Vincent, or Kathy Skivers. We have received some contributions from a few members of chapters. We would welcome assistance from any of you who feel you can help. I wish I could be there in person with you all. The trustees keep in close contact with our new president, Anna, and she is aware of what we are doing. She knows everything except the information that is confidential about our applicants. Sincerely, Catherine Skivers, trustee, Ellen Murphy Fund, CC to Pat Wolf and Abigail Vincent.
Do we have a motion to accept this report as read?
Sure.
We have a second.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very, very much, Jeff. Now, we are at 4:55. For those who know me, you probably thought you'd never see the day that I would be a time monster. Now, the next item on our agenda is a report regarding the Mutt Strut, and I would like us to go ahead and have that report done. We start the board meeting and when we reconvene at 7 o'clock this evening. So I would like to have a motion. I believe we need to recess, correct?
Yes.
I would like to have a motion to recess.
So moved.
So moved and seconded. Do we want any discussion about recess?
No.
All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? We will see everyone back here at 7 p.m. Thank you.